We live in America, and we have been so blessed. And I'm not sure we've been blessed of God as much as we've been blessed by Satan. Materialism is undoubtedly the God of America right now. What do people work for? Absolutely jobs, jobs, jobs. Better job, more money, more influence. Why? So they can get bigger things and more debt and more obligation that keeps them away from the house of God. As you know, I've been doing a lot of study on ancient Baptist history. And I think the worst of them would put us to shame where we're at today. They traveled by horseback or by foot miles, miles, through woods, through Indians, through lakes, through rivers, everything that was in the way, just to get to hear the preaching of the man of God. And the evangelists that traveled back then, that's just the way it was. And are we ever going to get back to that? I doubt it. I doubt it. Probably not anywhere close to it. But does that mean that we should not want it and pray for it? Who knows? God might send another spiritual awakening like the great awakening of Jonathan Edwards and the groups back then, when literally hundreds of souls were saved and baptized. And do you know what the distinction was back then on the preaching where all this happened? Was Baptist baptism. State churches believed in sprinkling and bringing children in. They were called halfway. What you do, you bring them in as children, make them members of the church. Theoretically, they grow up in the church and then get converted, but they never hear messages on conversion. They're in the church and they're taught to tithe, bring their tithes, and to be a part of the church. But when the Baptist preachers came in and preached revivals, even the pastors of these churches would get converted and would be dipped. They called it dipping. And immersion, that's what baptism is, totally immersed. And it's sort of a determining factor. And people said, man, we played at religion, and now here is somebody that's got the real thing. I hope we can do that again. Where's it going to start? It's going to start right here in my heart. And if I can touch your heart, then we're twice as strong. And maybe a few more. 10 times stronger. If we could get the whole church on one page praying, we would be 200, 220 strong. And if we can have effect on other churches, we can be thousands strong. And this is still God's world. God created it. He owns it. Satan has stolen it. I want to take it back. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If y'all stand with me, we're just going to read the one verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Dear God, how we pray for your touch upon this service today and upon this message, upon your word. Lord, I'm nothing, but I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. It started John the Baptist, but my goodness, look at what came from it. And I'm not the only one. I know there are other people, other preachers all across our country and in other countries that are praying specifically for the power of God to come down on us, touch us, take control of us. Whatever you accomplish, I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I call it the HPST syndrome. You know, doctors and psychologists got syndrome names for almost everything under the sun today. Now, I don't know if any of you are psychology majors or anything, but I'm going to tell you what my estimation is, and I don't think I'm far off, that psychology is a cottage profession that lives on itself. And establishing these things and making people feel bad and then being there and charging umpteen bucks to come in and talk when the preacher does it for free and about 1,000 times more effective. Amen? Yes, HPST syndrome. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. What's the method for revival? Humble, pray, seek, and turn. How's my life going to be better for God? Humble, pray, seek, and turn. How are you going to be what God wants you to be? Humble, pray, seek, and turn. When we humble and pray and seek and turn, we have God's promise, then will I hear from heaven. Will forgive their sin and heal their land. Does America need healing right now? We are in the turmoils of Satan versus Christ. Now I'm on Christ's side. And this old American continent may be taken over by Satan. And churches may be closed. And we may have to start meeting out in our backyards or out in the woods somewhere, 2-3 at a time, 5 at a time, secretly for fear of our life. You say that couldn't happen. Oh, it's happened over and over and over and over. Read your Baptist history books. You'll not find it in U.S. history book at school. You'll not find it in world history books written by the educators. But the men of God that have passed it on and have archived literature on it that's not been made public, that some guys have taken the time to go and look at it. First, if my people, which are called by my name, the world cannot produce revival, but I got good news, they cannot stop it. They'll get in the way, or they'll get on board, one or the other. And I want America to come back where we can get on board and where Christ will be preeminent in all. Revival must start with God's people. And let me tell you some things revival's not. Revival is not soul winning. Soul winning's good. Knocking on doors to bring people to Christ is good. Go ye out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. That's being obedient, but that's not revival. No matter how good it is, and no matter how much it's needed, it's not revival. When revival comes, soul winning will be a natural result of it. If our church were hit with revival right now, and I mean the power of God came down on us, some of us in here that have not talked to a soul in weeks or months or years will be so filled with the power of God that when we go out, it'll be beaming from our face and we cannot wait to share what God's done in our life. That kind of revival. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But I certainly want it. worldly pastors preaching a worldly message to worldly people to get them into a worldly church to have big numbers is not a revival. And we got that going on in America right now. You look, if you were home on Sunday morning and all the TVs, things that are on there, I mean, they're there by the thousands and hip, hip, hooray, and but there's no substance to it. You could go to a rock concert and get the same effect in your soul, and that's about what some of them are. Come as you are and leave as you are. That's not revival. Second, if my people shall humble themselves, revival is not going to come through the world. It's going to come through God's people. First, we need to see the need. It's the need of revival. This world is sin cursed. Just look around. Look at how people look. Look at how people dress. Look at the activities that they do. Our grandparents, if they came back and saw our modern society as it is today, would be absolutely appalled and wonder how in the world could it go from two generations back to what we're at today with the heathenism and the ungodliness and the promotion of wickedness advertised on TV, stuff that would have been X-rated when I was a kid. I feel sorry for you kids. You see stuff that I never saw when I was young, and you know things I didn't know at your age. And I thank God for my stupidity, or whatever you call them, because things they know now, I didn't need to know. And there's a lot of things you kids know that you don't need to know. A lot of things that you see that you don't need to see. That has an influence inside of you. That gets a grasp on you. And when Christ and the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, those things are so engrossed in your life that you say, I don't want it. I don't want it. That's what Satan wants for your life. He doesn't care about your body. Your body, when you die, is going to go in a grave and it's going to deteriorate. Young ladies, when you go in the grave, your bodies, no matter how beautiful, no matter how well you've adorned them, take care of them, they're going to dry up and they're going to become dust. But you got an eternal soul that's inside your body that's either going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. See the need. Being materially blessed is not revival. Being faithful to church is not revival. Being a servant in the church is not revival. All this is good and gets us in the mood for revival. I mean, you ought to be in church, and thank God you're here, because you're going to hear preaching like this, and better preaching, and more preaching. And I hope as the day comes that this will catch on and we're seeking revival. While we're seeking revival, we're seeking souls. We're trying to win people to the Lord, but we want the moving of the Holy Spirit of God to come down on us in a supernatural way that will just blanket our churches and change hearts and change directions. We humble ourselves. Next, if my people will pray. My people will pray. How do we pray successfully? First mention of prayer in the New Testament, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Remember your enemies whom Christ died for. That'll bring revival to your soul. I remember when I was a teenager and had no spiritual value of this, but it's typical to what I'm getting ready to say. Over at Shackamack, kid from Farmersburg and I got in a fight. Now, I was not a fighter. I was chicken. I usually ran from him. But he beat me up. That was 1 week. Do you know the next week he and I became best friends for the next year and a half? And you could not separate us. He was my enemy. But all of a sudden something happened. And boy, we were just like that. You got that old grouchy neighbor or a relative or whatever it is, and you win them to the Lord, and you see some maturity, spiritual maturity in their life, and all of a sudden now you can wrap your arms around them elbow to elbow and take them in because you're on the same page. You're on the same path. You're on the same walkway. Pray for your enemies. And that's how God can revive you, giving you a heart for the things of God. This is a result of humility. Pretty hard, that guy that just beat me up, say, God, make us friends. Now, God did it to me in spite of that, and it had no spiritual value. It just happened. But that's the way God works. Remember, the world does not revolve around you nor around me. Things that are going on, it's not to better me. It's not to better my lifestyle. It's not to enhance my ability to make money or to do whatever I do. I've found out making money doesn't amount to anything. It's a heap of a lot more fun giving it away than keeping it. And the more you give, the more God gives you. But the world does not revolve around me. But boy, I want to be in the center where it's revolving around Christ. I want my life to be there. I want my heart to be there. We're strangers in this world. We're just passing through. Have you ever been to a foreign country? Connie and I were fortunate enough because of my travels. I got a lot of free hotels and free airfares and things. One of the first trips that we took was back in the mid-80s, and we went to Paris. Free airfare and a free week in the hotel. All we had to do was buy food. We were dumber than a box of rocks. They had a continental breakfast at that hotel, Holiday Inn. Well, in our mind, continental breakfast, a hard roll and a cup of orange juice. So all week long, we went out to McDonald's and around there. That last day, let's go down and check it out. I mean, they had a spread down there that was fit for a king. And here we'd missed it all week. Free! Went with the hotel. If you've ever been to Paris, it's not an American-friendly place. I was an alien there. Connie and I were aliens in Paris. Oh, they didn't come out and mistreat us. But even when I was in the Navy and had been in France before, during the Vietnam era, we pulled our ship in, and all these signs out there, Yanks, go home! Get out of Vietnam! But boy, just as soon as the brow went over all the vendors and everything there, they wanted us to buy their stuff. They wanted to get our American money. They were not favorable to American people. Not when I was in the Navy and not when Connie and I went back. Oh, they were friendly. We met friendly people. But, you know, some places you go, they just take you in like family. France didn't do that. We were aliens there. Well, that's what we are as Christians in this world. Don't set your foot in where you want to put foundations, because this world is not our home. One day through death or through the rapture, we're going up. And everything we've got will be left behind. But only what we've done for Christ will last. You can lay up treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth nor thieves or anything like that can take it away. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, we hear, if you've studied any kind of history, where they had group prayer meetings and come together out in the woods or somebody's home and had all-night prayer meetings. Those are good. But I'll guarantee you it started somewhere where somebody was in their prayer closet seeking the power of God. I want to be that one. Will you? Will you join me? In your secret prayer, begin to pray that God would send revival to America. It can happen. And all of the ungodliness and worldliness, it's not going to be disposed of. But there can be a moving of the Holy Spirit of God on towns and cities and people responding to the gospel call and being saved in droves. We work and labor to get one person to come forward on Sunday morning and accept Christ. I want to see God work. Not my power, not my ability, but the Holy Spirit of God come down on us. And Jasonville and Hymera and Linton and Duggar, and see a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Secret prayer is effective prayer. Secret prayer is personal fellowship with God. Secret prayer will touch God's heart. Secret prayer will bring everlasting rewards. Matthew 7:8-9. Ask and seek and knock. For he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Knock on the doors of heaven and say, we need revival. Fourth, if my people will seek my face. Have a personal walk with God. Do you know what I thought of when I read this, seeking God's face? Have you ever picked up a little baby? Maybe your own child or maybe somebody else's. But while you're holding them, you're talking to somebody and not paying attention to them. And they reach up and look at me. Look at me. It's what I want to do with God. Look at me. Look at us. Look at our needs. Seek my face. Rise up early to meet God before the cares of the world take your attention. I mentioned this to you Wednesday night when I preached about getting up early. Let me just give you some illustrations. Early risers are God honoring. For example, Genesis 19:27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before God. Genesis 28:18. Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, poured oil upon it, top of it, and there he worshiped God early in the morning. Exodus 34:4. And he hewed Moses 2 table stone like unto the first, And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai. Joshua 6:12. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of God. Early in the morning. Isaiah 1:19. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. This was Hannah and Elkanah. And said, and he knew Hannah, and the Lord remembered them, and we had Samuel. They rose up early to seek God. First Samuel 17:20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He went out and did God's will. 2 Chronicles 29:20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went to the house of the Lord. Psalm 63:1, the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Isn't that America today? We're there. Isaiah 26:9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let me challenge you to begin to get up earlier than what you normally do. To spend some time in God's word and pray and humble yourself and seek his face. Confess your sins. I try to every day. And let's beseech God for this. I could give you dozens of others in scripture. Go home and take your computer Bible program and look for rise early. And I'm telling you, there is probably 2 pages full of instances in Scripture where they rose early to seek God. Rising early just seems to get God's attention, like it's more important than anything else that you or I do. Fifth thing, they turn from their wicked ways. Everything I've just preached is of no avail. If we're going to say, God, this is mine and I'm going to hang on to it, you may as well say, God, go your way. Because I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to have what I want to have. I'm going to be what I want to be. God will have no use for you. Confess our personal sin. Name them one by one. We talk about the blessings of God, name them one by one. What about our sins? Get you a notebook and begin to list them every day as you think of your shortcomings. Now keep it hid because you don't want others to know about it. But God knows. And what you need to do, you need to know. You need to know specifically what's in my life that's not pleasing to God. Doesn't necessarily mean you're committing adultery. You haven't robbed a bank. Probably haven't even taken God's name in vain. But let's think about this. When we claim the name of God and being a Christian and we go out and live ungodly, I think we're taking God's name in vain. And that's one of the great commandments. Name your sins and then deal with them. not only confess them, but forsake them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then pray about our national sins. Just off the top of my head, abortion, homosexuality. Unless God intervenes, that's the detriment of the American church, and we're going to be taken down, mark my word, unless we have an intervention from heaven that changes the circumstance. And you'll not have a nice air-conditioned building with padded pews to come and worship God. We'll not be able to run the buses all around the 15-mile radius to go out and bring all these kids to church. We'll have to bring them in our cars if we can even afford to transport our cars. You understand, as Christians, the world hates us. And especially independent fundamental Baptists that preach hard against sin and the wickedness that they are so engrossed in. But we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. And you either get on board or you're just going to falter by the wayside. Break down the home and marriage. Moral decline in America. Do you know why the divorce rate has gone down so much? Because people don't get married anymore. But the breakups haven't changed. Those that are together and end up breaking up, and then the kids go on welfare and food stamps. We are in a mess. So, HPST, humble, pray, seek God's face, and turn from the wicked way, and then, God will hear us from heaven. I think God has selective hearing, don't you? He puts a lot of thens and buts. As I read my daily scripture, a lot of times I'll take a pen, and if a verse starts with then or but, I circle it, because I want to tie it to what was before and what's afterwards. Because God says, if this happens, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. I want to know what those things are. Also, if you do this, I'll bless you. I want to know what that is. Revival must come from heaven. It cannot be man-made. Our church cannot start it. I cannot start it. Pastor Jerry cannot start it. Well, let me back that up. We cannot make it happen, but we can certainly start it. And I'm asking everyone here today to make this a concerted effort in your daily devotions to pray for revival. Pray for the leaders of our church. Pray for God's blessing on our church, on our towns, and on our country. And most of all, God send revival. Not man-made, not something we do, but something so supernatural that when it's done, we will just stand back in awe and say, God, you did it. Amen. You did it. Cannot be man-made. If it's man-made, it can also be stopped by man or hindered by man. Revival must begin with me. I got no control on any one of you out here today, but I control what goes in this heart, in these ears, in these eyes, and what comes out of this mouth. And I want it to be God-honoring. Second, he says he'll hear us from heaven and forgive our sin. Yeah, in the atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin, past, present, and yes, even future sins. There's enough efficacious action in the blood of Christ to forgive every sin. But there's got to be a plea for forgiveness. Remember what it was like the day you got saved and you really come to understand, my sins are forgiven. My sins are under the blood of Christ. I'm telling you, that was 50 years ago for me. 51 years now. And I've never gotten over it. I've never forgotten it. I've had my ups and downs, but I've never forgotten that night, Tuesday night, at a coffee table, in a rented apartment, out on 96th Bay Street, in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Pastor Waldo Grandstaff came and explained to me salvation, which I'd probably heard, but that once I accepted Christ, I was forgiven. It was done. And God gave to me eternal life. And he took my sins as far as the east is from the west. He buried them into the depths of the sea, never to call them up again. Past, present, and future. I don't worry about anything I do ever deterring me from going to heaven. But I worry every day about my life being detrimental to the cause of Christ. But I remember when I got saved and my sins. And God can do that for America. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in the absence of sin, but there can be some victories over. Third, he says, then I will heal your land. Hear us from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Will not be perfect conditions until we get to heaven. But there will be peace and joy. Read about some of the revivals that happened and how people were unified in the church as a body of Christ. And that after it happened, unsaved people were brought in and literally cried at the altar for forgiveness of sins when the preacher preached. I've never seen that. Nothing close to it. But if it happened before, it can happen again. And I'm begging, please, God, send it to us again. Must start with being saved. If you're not saved, you cannot be revived. That night when I got saved, I knew that my sins were forgiven. The Holy Spirit of God came in, and all those fears and anxiety that I had as a teenager and a young man just absolutely flew away. And it can be yours today if you come to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin and makes us presentable to go to heaven, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it must start with us being saved, but it must continue with us being sanctified. Sanctified means merely set apart for the cause of Christ. Is there a calling of God on your life for any particular thing? Maybe to be an usher. Maybe to be a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a bus helper, to be a visitation partner and go out and knock on doors. Something in your life that you say, God, this is my calling. God's got a calling for every one of us. And you either catch it or you miss it. If you miss it, your life's probably going to be miserable. If you catch it, your life's probably going to be a struggle. So you're sort of, whether you do or whether you don't. Because serving God is not an easy thing to do. But the eternal results are far better. And it will end, revival will end in total surrender. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want part of us. He doesn't want us on Sunday morning. He wants us 24/7. Every place we go, everything we do, the thing at the forefront of our mind and our thought ought to be, I belong to God. How am I representing Him? Come humbly, pray, seek God early, turn from your wickedness, then He will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal the land. You can be a part of the solution of bringing revival, or you can be a hindrance to it. I'd much rather be on God's side than fighting and opposing the Lord. Which side are you on right now? If you're here right now and you've never been saved by the grace of God, revival doesn't mean anything to you because there's nothing to revive. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But today that can be changed by coming and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, been saved for a long time, but I'm not sure where my spiritual life is. I beg with you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And for those of us that are somewhat saved and dedicated to the Lord, let's make this a matter of prayer. Revival in our church, revival in our own personal hearts and lives, and revival in America, how we need it. All this bickering and fussing, I don't care who gets in Washington, it's not going to change the spirituality of America. But when God gets in to the politicians and to our lives and to the heart and soul of America, we'll see changes. Dear God, we thank you for what you've done over and over and over for the last 2,000 plus years. God, we're in a position now where we're in sinfulness and your wrath is coming upon America and upon our ways and upon our people and upon everything about America. And short of a revival, the working of the Holy Spirit of God in hearts and lives, it's not going to change. So dear God, we beseech you and beg and plead from the bottom of our heart, dear God, touch America today with a revival. May it start with me. May it start with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And may it become so experiential in our lives that we see multitudes, multitudes of souls coming to Christ. Glorify yourself, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.